You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. Still to come on the program, we'll play another edition of Mad About Movies, giving you a chance to win lunch or dinner for two to Antico Martini Restaurant. Too many martinis in the scuttle of botch when running to the affluence of alcohol. Antico Martini Restaurant, where the food is decadently yummy. Also, we'll talk to Professor Bernie Gaidosh, author of The Professor's Secrets, Breaking the Silence on Writing Essays and Term Papers. But right now, we have a returning guest to our program here. On the line with us right now is Bob Bergen, the voice of many characters, including Porky Pig. Hello, Mr. Bergen, sir.
Peter, it's good to talk to you again.
Nice to have you back with us here on CJD. Last time we spoke, I guess we were hooked up by a mutual friend of ours, Steve Leyva.
Good old Steve.
Good old Steve, who's a busy, busy guy.
He is. He's doing well. He's out hawking a book.
Yes.
And he's doing well, and it's a great book. I'm actually having dinner with him on Monday.
Ah. Yeah. It's still not Blood is Pretty, is it?
Blood is still pretty.
Okay.
Blood is Pretty. And
that is a great book.
Isn't it awesome?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing book. I read it when it was still in manuscript form.
It was still wet.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've also read the second one, which was in manuscript form. Hollywood is an All-Volunteer
Army. There you go, yeah. There you go. Very good.
And that's a great one, too.
Yeah.
Want to touch base with you again and just talk about some of the things you've been working on of late. Since we last spoke, you've done, was it Shrek 2?
I did do Shrek 2, yeah. Okay. That was fun. I mean, very small little part, but it was memorable. I don't know if you saw the film, they did a parody of Cops, and there were a couple of us who did the voices of the cops.
Oh, right, right.
And I did some sound effects and some animals and stuff like that. We talked about, I guess about 5 years ago when I was doing my one-man show.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I did Santa Claus 2. I do a lot of sequels. I did Toy Story 2. Look at this. Santa Claus 2, I played Comet the Reindeer.
Right.
And right now I'm just about finishing season number 3, recording a show called Duck Dodgers for Cartoon Network.
Okay, so do you play the lead in that?
There's three lead characters. There's Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, and Marvin the Martian. I'm Porky Pig.
Okay.
And basically, it's based on an old Chuck Jones short from the 50s called Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a Half Century.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
There you go. And the producers also worked on Space Jam, in fact, with Steve Leyva.
Right.
And we did like a 5-minute presentation to make Duck Dodgers an animated feature. And that sat on the shelf for many years. And then about 2 years ago, Cartoon Network decided this would be a fun series. So it debuted last year, and we're on the air. Season 1 is still on the air. Season 2 starts, I think, in January, followed by Season 3. So we're recording Season 3 right now, but it takes a while to animate.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we last spoke to you, you said you were doing your one-man show. How did that work out for you?
That went great. I think, actually, we were talking as it was going.
Right.
It ran for 3 months, and I got really nice reviews. In fact, actually, I was the one that pulled it. After 3 months, I was kind of like, I'm kind of tired about talking about myself, and I'm bored up here saying, and then I. So I decided to pull it, and it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun, and in the talking stages of putting it up again.
Hmm. Now, I want to go back to when you were a child.
Yeah.
I think the word, the apropos word here would be chutzpah.
That's a good one. There you go.
You picked up the telephone, and you call. And by the way, people can go to your website, which is www.bobbergen.com, and actually hear this. You called Mel Blanc.
Well, what happened was we moved to Los Angeles when I was 14, and I knew I wanted to do voices for cartoons. And I thought, well, I want to do Porky Pig. I better call Mel Blanc and find out when I can take over for him. So Los Angeles is huge. There's a different phone book for every county and every other block. So I made my parents go out and get me every phone book. And
your parents went along with this?
Oh, they're as nutty as I am.
Okay.
I basically looked for Mel Blanc. Mel Blanc, couldn't find Mel Blanc, but I found E. Blanc, and I knew his wife's name was Estelle. So I called that number, and I don't know why I thought of doing this, but I bugged the conversation. I in the kitchen, I put my little tape recorder on the table with the telephone receiver on top of the mic, the built-in mic, and then I went in the other room and I made the phone call. So I taped the entire conversation, except at one point my mom was like, why is there a telephone on a tape recorder? And she hung it up.
Oh.
And then she came into the room where I was on the phone, and I kind of explained what I was doing, so she went back and she put the phone back on the tape recorder. But 2 weeks after the conversation, the tape broke.
Ugh.
And I threw it away.
Okay.
I figured, well, that's that. And my mom retrieved the tape and put it in a drawer. About a year ago, she called me up and she said, I've got this tape that says phone conversation with Mel Blanc. What is it? I went, well, that's, I oh my gosh. So I took it to a studio and it was digitally enhanced and put on CD and I put it up on my website. So you can actually hear the conversation on my website.
Yeah, so you, a 14-year-old Bob Bergen, talk, and he seemed very nice on the phone after he initially said, how did you get this number?
Oh, yeah. There was definitely that, you know, how did you get my number? And I said, well, it's in the phone book under your wife's name. And then he warmed up, and he was extremely generous with his time. What you can't hear on the conversation, because this is where the tape broke, was I asked him, you know, are you still doing voices for cartoons? And he said, well, no, we haven't done cartoons in years. Right now we do commercials, and I'm just finishing up to record an arena show, a live stage show with the characters. I said, oh, do you do that at Warner Brothers? He goes, no, we're doing that. And he mentioned the name of the studio. It was called, at the time, Fred Jones Recording, which doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are you doing that now? He goes, well, we're finishing up this week. So when I hung up from him, I called Fred Jones Recording, and I said, I'm calling to confirm Mr. Blank's appointment for this Thursday at 9. And they said, actually, we have him on the books Wednesday at 11. I went, that's right. I'm sorry. My mistake.
Oh, man.
So I said to my mom, look, I'm ditching school on Wednesday. We're going to go watch Mel Blanc work. And she says, how do you know where he is? I said, trust me, I know where he is. So we went to the studio, and I told the receptionist that we were guests of Mel Blanc. And when we walked into the booth, I told the producer that we were friends of the receptionist.
So your mother was also involved in this larceny?
A little bit, yeah. I guess it's genetic.
Okay. So did you get to meet him, I guess, at that point?
Absolutely. I watched him work for a couple of hours, and he was, you know, relatively elderly at the time, and he would sit there in front of the mic, and in one hand he had a cigarette, in the other hand he had oxygen. And he would go, I mean, he would take a puff of cigarette, take a puff of oxygen, and say, what's up, doc? And he would do that back and forth. In fact, his doctor had told him that's dangerous because, you know, oxygen is flammable.
We just had a story. We just had a story on our program just yesterday of somebody who is no longer with us because of that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Mel Blanc gave up the oxygen because the cigarettes were too important.
I guess so. Yeah. So here you are meeting your idol. Was it all that it cracked up to be? Because sometimes, you know, when you idolize somebody in a job that you want to do so much, you find out that they're not exactly what they're.
Well, what happened, what I learned that day was that his voices were sped up electronically.
Mm-hmm.
All of his characters were sped up electronically.
Right.
And he was doing Tweety, and it was terrible. I turned to my mom, I said, oh my gosh, he's just lost it. And they played it back, and it was perfect. And I said, well, why does it sound differently when you play it back? And they said, we speed his voices up. I said, when did you start doing that? They said, 1936.
What year was this, by the way, when this all took place? You said you were 14.
This was 78 or 79. 78.
Now you must have had a very understanding mom to rope her into. I mean, what you're describing sounds like a Lucy sketch.
It was very much like a Lucy sketch. I mean, my entire voiceover career was like a Lucy sketch because I didn't know there were other people who wanted to do this. I mean, when I was 14, the phone book was my best friend. I called everything in the phone book in the yellow pages that said animation and cartoons, and my parents let me. And I called Hanna-Barbera, and I said, I'd like the cartoon department. And they said, well, young man, the whole building is a big cartoon department. Can you be more specific? I said, yeah, where does Mel Blanc work? And they gave me casting, and I didn't know what casting was. And I said, listen, Mel Blanc is getting old. I saw him record. He's not as good as he used to be. They're speeding up his voice. So when can I work? And they hung up on me. I thought they had a faulty phone wire because I thought this is a legitimate question. You know,
right.
And who else wants to do this? I thought nobody else wants to do voices for cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Little different, you know. And then, in fact, nowadays, of course, you've got tons of celebrities doing voices for cartoons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, there's an interesting quote, and it's right there on your website, too, and I want you to tell us the story. When you first told your parents that you wanted to grow up to be Porky Pig.
I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I said... when I grew up, I wanted to be Porky Pig. My mom said, honey, you can't be Porky Pig, you're Jewish. And at that point, I don't think she kind of realized I didn't want a snout and little ears and a curly tail. I wanted to do voices for cartoons. My parents bought me a tape recorder when I was 7. I started recording cartoons and imitating cartoons. And, you know, my mom would hear a commercial on the air, and then she'd hear it again and wonder, why are they playing that commercial twice? Well, I was mimicking the commercial. And she would call my dad and say, come here, watch this. And the commercial would come on, and I'd mimic the commercial again. You know, you'd hear on the commercial, you know, TV, Betty. And I'd go, Betty, Becky. So this is something I always knew I wanted to do. I can guarantee in their hearts my folks were like, oh, please, doctor, lawyer, doctor, lawyer, doctor, lawyer. But, you know, there's a disease called acting that if you got it, you're going to act. You're going to at least pursue it.
Now, this is what you always wanted to do, and I'm sure it was your parents saw the joy you had out of it and that you wanted to pursue it. But when you got to school, because usually there's something in school called the guidance counselor.
Yeah.
Who usually have other ideas of what you should be doing with the rest of your life.
We took an exam where you're supposed to answer all these questions and they calculate and they basically tell you what vocation you'd be best suited for, and I did that and it said clergy. And I said, oi.
I don't think so.
We are talking to Bob Bergen here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800. More with Bob and Porky and the whole cast of characters after this.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. This is indeed Holder Tonight, every evening from 8 to 10 here on most of the station. We are talking to Bob Bergen, who, among other things, is the voice of Porky Pig. And what's the situation now? I mean, there was a time when Mel did all the voices, and of course he had them over a barrel. If he so much as sneezed, Warner Brothers was a little anxious.
Well, you know, Mel, first of all, wasn't the original voice of Porky Pig.
Right.
And the gentleman that they had, named Joe Doherty, actually stuttered. And back in those days, there was no tape. It hadn't been utilized yet. So they recorded everything on film. And Jack Warner kept getting these outrageous bills for film, for a cartoon. Why are you using so much film? And they said, well, you know, the guy that does Porky stutters. And Jack Warner said, find somebody who doesn't stutter as much. Well, not only did this guy stutter, but he stuttered so much that the six-minute cartoons were coming in at 9 minutes, so they sped the voice up. Well, then they got Mel Blanc, who had done one job for Warner Brothers playing a drunken bull. He did a hiccup in one cartoon. Oddly enough, a Porky Pig cartoon. And they asked him if he could do his rendition or impression of this guy doing Porky Pig, and he did, and they sped his voice up trying to keep it as consistent as possible, save them a lot of money because he could control the stutter, and he would also create a wonderful ad lib while he stuttered. Then they gave him Daffy, and then they gave him Bugs, and over a period of time he was becoming the main voice guy. Now there were others. Bee Benadera did a lot of voices for Warner Brothers. Of course, Stan Freberg later on did a lot of voices, but back in the 40s, he asked for a raise. And, of course, Jack Warner, who was cheap, said no. And Mel Blanc said, well, then can I have sole screen credit, which means that nobody else gets screen credit for these cartoons. And Jack Warner says, well, sure, because that doesn't cost us a dime, absolutely. So even if Mel Blanc's voices weren't heard, he was the only one who got screen credit.
Interesting.
And it made him famous.
Right.
And people would say, voice characterizations, Mel Blanc, and he would also do, you know, tons of radio shows. And
he was still doing the Jack Benny show at that.
He would do the Jack Benny show on TV as well, so people started to learn what he looked like.
Right.
So that screen credit was gold to him. And he really didn't start making good money in this business until television, because these cartoons didn't pay residuals.
Mm-hmm. So nowadays, how many voices, how many, besides yourself, are the usual cast of characters that we've grown to love as the Warner Brothers Looney Tunes characters?
How many actors are doing them?
Yeah.
Well, there's a handful. There's two of us to do Tweety. There's two of us to do Marvin the Martian. There's about a dozen Bugs Bunnies, depending on what they want. As far as I know, I'm it for Porky. They've got one guy who does it non-union for the Six Flag Parks. Since I'm union, I can't do that. They've got a couple of Yosemite Sams. So the studio has a list of actors that producers could hire. Every producer has their favorite, and the studio has their number one choice. Now, if the number one choice's agent says, you know, my client's too expensive for you, then they go to the number two choice and so forth. But they definitely have the person that they, I mean, like Joe Alasky does Daffy Duck on Duck Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He's phenomenal. He's their number one choice for Daffy Duck. But I've also done Daffy Duck, and other people have done Daffy Duck. So it just really depends on a situation.
Now, are you ever concerned at some point that some 14-year-old kid will come along and go, you know, Bob's really getting a little old for doing this.
History repeating itself?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been teaching animation voiceover for about 17 years, and, you know, when I started teaching, people were like, what are you, crazy? You're teaching people to do your gig. And, you know, my answer is not really, because if there's room for everybody, and if somebody is better than anybody else working right now and they happen to have a great demo and they get in, mazel tov, they deserve the job.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep my fingers crossed that doesn't happen. I know Warner Brothers gets tapes from everybody all over the country all the time. All the time. There's brilliant talent out there everywhere. And just because the person who creates or does a character passes away or retires or whatever, it doesn't mean the character does. My hairdresser is the voice of Jane Jetson. I've been going, her name is Lori Fraser.
Right.
And I've been going to Lori Fraser for about 20 years, and the first time I went to her, she's shampooing my hair. She was recommended by a commercial acting class. And she says, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm pursuing voiceover. And she starts aggressively scrubbing my scalp. Oh, my gosh, so am I. And Penny Singleton was the voice of Jane Jetson originally, and
right.
passed away. But for the last few years, she wasn't able to do the character. So Lori has been doing, Jane Jetson and Olive Oil and Betty Boop. There's always going to be need for the classic characters, and as there should be. You know, bless his heart, Jim Henson passed away many years ago, but Kermit lives on.
You've done this for so long now, and you also
yes, I've done it for so long,
and you also teach, but you've also spent some time, like Mel Blanc, in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a few years ago, I hosted a game show called Jep, which was the kids' version of Jeopardy, same producers, and the only difference was the contestants were smaller than the adults. A lot of fun, scary. Oh, I mean, it was just hosting a game show. You're in control of the whole thing, and it's a lot easier to sit behind a microphone reading the script saying that's all, folks, than to say, you know, ooh, it's Double Jeopardy and running a show. But that was fun. I really enjoyed that. I did a lot of sitcoms in the 80s, Give Me a Break, Facts of Life, Silver Spoons, One Day at a Time, did some soap opera work. But the voiceover thing has pretty much been my bread and butter.
When you look back to how this all began for you, you know, the phone call, going to see Mel Blanc, and looking back at it as an adult in the business, knowing what you know now and how the business works, do you just marvel at what you actually did to get in?
Looking back, I'm like, boy, that kid was nervy.
Yeah.
I do get calls today from kids and from people who are interested in doing this, and they'll read on my website how I did this, and they'll say, well, what the heck, I'll give it a shot too. And, you know, the bottom line is you do have to be good. Everybody thinks they can do it, but you got to be better than the people on the air right now. In fact, in, I don't know, the 26 years since I called Mel Blanc, this business has more than quadrupled in size. So it's much more competitive. There were about maybe 5 agents for voiceover back then. There's, you know, 15, 20 now in Los Angeles. So it's difficult. It's more difficult. Mel Blanc said the same thing. He said, how old are you? I said, 14. He goes, well, it takes a long time. Well, it does take a long time. But it's possible. Anything is possible if you're really good and you've just got that drive, that passion, that this is what I want to do and nothing will stop me.
Well, you started at a young age talking to a microphone, so looking back at your career from the time you, well, even before your career, from the time you started talking to that microphone to the time you were actually working, at what point did you, looking back, feel you became good?
Oh, you know what? I learn every time I work. I've never, if I'm going to be honest, I can't say never, but I can count on one hand the times I've heard either a film or a TV show or a commercial and been satisfied and gone, wow, I did a great job there. Most of the time I think, gosh, one more take. So I'm always learning. But, you know, I...
Well, let me put it this way. Good enough, looking back, good enough... How old were you when you felt you were good enough to get the gig? Not that you actually got it, but good enough to get the gig in the first place.
Well, I was 27, I think. Let's see. I was 23 when I started working full-time as an actor. I haven't had a day job since I was 23.
Mm-hmm.
I was a tour guide at Universal Studios from age 18 to 23. And my last year there, I had 32 sick calls because I was still working as an actor. And they actually said, it's time to leave. It's time to leave the nest. It was like Kung Fu. So you can take the pebble, you can leave now. And I was terrified because I was like, what if it stops? Well, you know what? That's called showbiz. So I, you know, gosh, to this day, I mean, we had a commercial strike a few years ago that pretty much broke the city, and we haven't completely recovered from it. So there are no guarantees in this business. But in my heart, this is what I'm meant to do, and this is what I'll continue doing.
What is easier or more fun to do for you? You do character voices like a Porky Pig,
mm-hmm.
or you do other characters. For instance, you do the voice of Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars video game,
mm-hmm.
which obviously is not a character voice per se. It's more of a straight voice, right?
Right, and it was probably a lot more difficult to do than the Looney Tunes because I actually turned down the audition. I said, I can't sound like Mark Hamill. And they said, well, here's the reference, do your best, and I did my best, and I got the job. And I'm doing my best not to play Mark Hamill, I'm doing my best to play Luke Skywalker and the integrity of the character. So it is all character, it is all acting. My voice is young like Mark's, so we have a similarity. My preference of any job I've ever done is the pig. I mean, I'm looking right now in my living room, I bought on eBay... a 6-foot statue of Porky Pig, and it's in my living room, and it's really obnoxious. And there it is. I mean, this is what I wanted to do since I was a kid. Some kids wanted to be a doctor. Some kids wanted to be teachers, accountants. I wanted to be a stuttering pig.
Well, and you've been very, very successful at it.
Well, knock wood.
Can we hear from Porky before you go? Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, hang on. He's in the bathroom. Hang on one second. Hey, Porky, telephone.
Calling. Yes.
How you doing, Porky?
I mean, not bad. How are you?
I'm fine. Is Petunia there with you?
Petunia? No, she's working.
She. What does Petunia do when she's not around?
Well, she's a temporary. She's got a job working as a secretary. She works in an office.
Ah, okay. And when you're not working, Porky, how do you spend your downtime?
I like to go to a movie. I like cinema. I like to dine out at a restaurant. I love to eat, and I'm involved in many charity. I like to volunteer.
Do you have a favorite film when you go to the movies, Porky?
My favorite film, I really love Babe.
Ah, good.
I can really relate.
I take it you don't like Deliverance.
No, I've been there. It's not pretty.
Okay. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Porky. Can I speak to Bob once again?
My pleasure. Just a minute.
He's hogging the phone again, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure to have you on the program with us once again, Bob. Continued success.
Thanks, buddy.
People can find out a lot more. There's a lot of information on your website, www.bobbergen.com. Best of luck with you, with everything that you do, sir.
And Thank you, sir.
Say hello to Steve when you have dinner with him next week.
You got it, but I will definitely say hi for you.
Okay. Bob Bergen here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. Mad About Movies coming up after the news.